Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour, and we are trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our ministries to share the good news of the gospel around the world. Today we have a missionary text taken from John chapter 20, verse 21, which says, "And Jesus said unto them, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." This is one of the last statements that Jesus made before he ascended back to the Father. He had already rose from the dead, and he was about ready to ascend to the Father when he made this statement. And I think this is sort of marching orders for the Church of Jesus Christ in this day and age, that we should see the fields that are white unto harvest and pray ye the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers into the harvest field. I believe more than any other day, we need more and more people to seek the Lord's face and surrender to his will. And I'm sure if we do that, we'll have many more people responding to the gospel, but also responding to full-time service overseas. And so I pray that all of us could remember to ask the Lord to send workers out into his harvest field. This is a radio edition of Global Times. Today we have in our studio Jerry and Connie Robinson, who are representatives in Western Canada for Global Outreach Mission. And they're telling us the story of their life and how the Lord has led and met their needs over the years. Today, Jerry's going to tell us about Costa Rica and how that all came about.
Connie's sister is a missionary in Costa Rica. When Connie's mother died, we thought it'd be a good idea if we could go down and visit her sister and family in Costa Rica. So we took a little of the money that was left over after the funeral, and we decided to go there. So we went down to Costa Rica, and on the way we got to Miami, and we got to the airport. They started to announce that the plane was full that we were on, and they needed people to get bumped. If you take a bump, you'd get $300, and then it was $500, and then it was $800, and then it was $1,000 each if you take this bump. The kids didn't want to. We've got four kids, and they didn't want to get a bump because they're excited about going to Costa Rica. But when $1,000 came, I went up and I said, "We'd be willing to take a bump." And she said, "Well, how many are in your party?" I said, "Six." And she said, we've got just room for six more. And she, so we got a bump for $1,000 each. And so we went down to Costa Rica and visited her sister, and it was a great time. And one of the highlights was there was a lady by the name of Dorothy Rimple that took us up to a high-looking spot in Costa Rica, and we played hide-and-go-seek with the kids, and we had fun in the park. And as it was getting dark, Dorothy says, I want you to look down, way down in the valley there. She says, see those little lights coming on? She said, that is one of the darkest spots in Costa Rica. It's one of the most beautiful, but it's one of the darkest. They don't have hardly any witness of Jesus Christ there. And, you know, as the lights came on and it got darker and darker, I said, why don't we just pray that God would raise up somebody in that little valley? And so we prayed that God would send somebody in that valley. And then, you know, we went back home. And, of course, we had had this bump. So a couple years later, we decided we'd use the money that we had made on the bump to go again. So we went down and we got down to Miami, and Connie went to check how things were coming. And the lady looked into Connie's eyes. She says, oh, she says, we're going to be overbooked. And she said, would your party like to take a bump? Well, we had already taken a bump the time before, so we knew all about it because they had put us up for the night and fed us and gave us food vouchers. And so, of course, our kids were all for this. And so we took another bump of $500 each. And of course, then we had money to go again. And then after that, we had money to go again because we had enough points to go to Costa Rica again. And you know, this was, I think, God having a way of giving our hearts a picture of Costa Rica, because later on when we went down to Costa Rica, the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. And as he woke me up, he began to speak to me. And the first one he says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And then he said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go bring forth fruit. And the next day, as I looked around, I could see all these lost people that needed Jesus Christ. And the next night, he woke me up again and led me to a verse. I am going to send you to a land flowing with milk and honey. And what better place than Costa Rica? And then I said, well, when, Lord? And, you know, the next night I woke up and he led me to this verse. It says, now, will ye not know it? And so I woke my wife up and I said, honey, I think God is calling us to Costa Rica. Well, she just laughed because she said, Jerry, you can't even learn one or two words in Spanish. How would you ever? I said, I don't know, but I said, I think God's got a ministry in Costa Rica. And that day we went down for breakfast, and Connie's sister said, you know, we're going on a paseo. That's an out trip. And we went for about 3 hours, and we went down to this little valley. And guess what? It was the same little valley that we had prayed for about 4 or 5 years before. And we met a lady by the name of Esther and Juan. They were friends of Connie's sister and brother-in-law. And they invited us in, and they started telling us the story, how they had got this property and they'd built it up and they wanted it to be kind of a conference center for youth and kids and outreach. And she said she was getting older, and she said, we're looking for a couple to take this over. And she said we had bought it for $80,000, but it was worth about $200,000 to $350,000 because they had put that much money into it. And then she said, Jerry, what did you do in life? So I started telling her. She said, Jerry, I believe you're the couple for this. She said, I will give you this property for the $80,000. You know, and our hearts were just knit together.
Praise the Lord. What good stories they are. It's been a real delight to have both of you in our studio today, and we'll continue this conversation next week.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. As you're aware, this is a listener-supported program, and we certainly need the gifts and donations of people that listen to this to continue to support it. We're going through a very difficult time where we need more funding to continue to buy radio time, or we'll need to cancel some stations. This month, we're offering a little booklet that I've prepared about my mother's life. She had Alzheimer's, and at one point I thought she wouldn't have the chance to come to Christ, and God did a tremendous miracle. And it's very encouraging if we have loved ones who have diseases or things that affect their mind in the older life. And so I encourage you to get a copy of it. It's called Never Give Up, and you can get a copy of Never Give Up by writing to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Please write in this month and help us to be able to fund the radio station that you're listening to.
Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to ransom my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at thy crucified feet. By faith for my cleansing I see thy blood flow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, thou knowest I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. To those who have sought thee, thou never said no. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Today's message is from Reverend Art Larson and is entitled, Beware. I'm sure you will enjoy this message very much. Printed copies are available upon request.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Charles Dickens used these thought-provoking words in opening his famous novel, A Tale of Two Cities. Though they described Europe in the early 18th century, they could properly be used to picture the United States and Canada today. We live in the best of times and the worst of times. Scientifically, we've seen fantastic advance. Man has attained such speed in travel that he now looks forward to and is exploring the solar system. He's split and fused the atom, giving him the key to enormous unleashed power. The field of communications has literally exploded. First, there was just the human voice, then writing, then the breakthrough of the printing press, then radio, and now worldwide television and the internet. Our world today is indeed a global village. Yes, in some ways, these are the best of times, but in other ways, they are the worst of times. Technology has brought a host of benefits, but it has also brought its difficulties. Someone has said humorously, take one of our more simple problems, for example. We live in rectangular boxes we call houses. They keep heat in and hold cold out. But inside the boxes, it's too warm for food. So we build another rectangular box, refrigerator, to keep food cold inside the box we made to keep us warm, our home. But inside the box for food, it gets too cold for butter, so we make another box to keep the butter warm. Advancing civilization has provided many solutions for many problems, but it's also created many other problems. It has brought heart transplants, computers, supersonic travel, but it's also given us nuclear warfare, the problems of our society today of hatred and violence, the tragedy of abortion, terrorism on every hand, war and rumor of war. A traveler today can circle the globe in a matter of hours, but millions of people are confused about the directions of their daily lives. Illegal drugs infest our youth cultures from grade school right through college and on into the adult years. Crime is rampant in our streets. Corruption spreads like creeping mold throughout our nation. I could go on and on. All you need to do is listen to the news and read the paper. Who is behind all this? Peter was very concerned that we should know. This is the final message in a series about last words for last days from the pen of Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, I know that I must shortly put off this tabernacle. I'm going to leave this body. So I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I want to remind you of the things you already know but so easily forget. And we have been studying in a series of messages, 2 Peter chapter 3. In these last words for last days, Peter says in the first 7 verses, be mindful of the truth. There are 5 B's. This is the first one. Be mindful of the truth of Scripture, God's holy word, the Bible, and the truth that in the last days there will be scoffers who will make fun of the Bible, who will ridicule and mock the promise of his coming, the creation of the world, the flood that once destroyed the world. But God says that someday the same word which keeps the heaven and earth in store will be destroyed by fire, and in that day of judgment, all the ungodly men will be destroyed with it. Be mindful of the truth. Then in verses 8, 9, and 10, he says, be not ignorant of the time of his promise that he's coming back, of his plan that he waits and is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, the patience of God! As the day of the Lord is coming, and it will come as a thief in the night. We are not to be ignorant of the time. That day should not overtake us who know the Lord Jesus. If you don't know him, it will overtake you. You'll be left behind through terrible tribulation and the judgment of God. And then someday, the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth and all the works that are in it shall be burned up, and all things will be dissolved, and there will be new heavens and a new earth. So Peter says in verses 11, 12, and 13, be holy in your testimony. Since all these things in this world are going to be dissolved, don't live for here, live for there. Don't live for now, live for then. Don't live for this world, live for the glory of God and for eternity. Live for heaven with heaven's values in view. And then we saw in verses 14 through 16, be diligent in the task. Be diligent, stand by your commitment, share your faith, and study the Word of God. Don't be unlearned and unstable. Don't twist the Scriptures. Be found of him when he comes in peace, without spot and blameless. And then we saw, having seen, be mindful of the truth, be not ignorant of the time. Be holy in your testimony, be diligent in your task. We see today in verses 17 and 18, beware of the tempter. It's the last thing Peter closes his letter with. He closes in 2 Peter chapter 3 with a reminder of Satan, just as he closed his first letter in chapter 5 when he said, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Peter must be remembering what Jesus once said to him before he denied his Lord while he was still on the earth. That is, Jesus on the earth with his disciples. He said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Peter failed. Peter was tripped up by the devil. He said he'd never deny his Lord, but he denied him 3 times. He went out and wept bitterly, but he was reunited to his Lord. He was then filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and mightily used of God. And he knows how subtle Satan is, and so he says, you therefore, beloved, 2 Peter 3:17 and 18, seeing that you know these things, before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked or the wicked one, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The word beware means constantly on your guard. It's a Greek word that's used in reference to something of extreme value, to be watched over and guarded and protected. Beware. When I read of all the awful things that are happening happening today, be aware of the fact that Satan is behind all of this. God is giving him unusual liberties in this day, and Satan has certainly been the one who leads people away with error. Today, Satan will do what he can to keep you out of heaven and to take you to a Christless eternity in the lake of fire and brimstone where he is destined to be. Listen to what he does. Some of you fall into this category. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them who are lost. You're lost today. You're not going to heaven. You're not saved. You're not ready to die. You're lost. Because the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And if he can't do that, he will try to keep you from the will of God if you are a Christian. That's why John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world system, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world system, of which Satan is in control, is these three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And these are not of the Father, they're of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see, Satan would love, to either destroy you through unbelief or keep you from doing the will of God and missing God's best in your life. So Peter, at the end of 2 Peter 3, says, beware lest you also, even though you know these things before, are led away with the error of the wicked one and fall from your own steadfastness. Paul was so concerned. He wrote in 2 Corinthians 11 to the believers there, he said in verse 3, I fear lest by any means, he'll use any means, my friend, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his craftiness, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. In other words, Satan by any means will try to lead you away with the error of himself. Satan is so subtle, my friend. He is so subtle. And the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is the avenue through which he works. You remember our first parents, Adam and Eve, and they fell into sin in the garden. And in Genesis chapter 3, Satan came to Eve and said, you shall not surely die if you eat of the fruit of the tree, which God said you cannot. For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be open, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Now notice Genesis 3:6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh. She wanted the food, the lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, that's the lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, that's the pride of life. She took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and they fell into sin, and sin passed upon all men, and death by sin, and we have reaped the awful consequences ever since. Satan is so subtle. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, who stepped out of eternity into time, who came from heaven to this world, who took upon him a human form when he began his earthly ministry at approximately age 30, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Fasted 40 days and 40 nights and was hungry, and Satan came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, command the stones to be made bread. There it is again, the lust of the flesh. Fulfill what you want. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into a holy city and set him in a pinnacle of the temple and said, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. It's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. The lust of the eyes. People would see him coming down protected by God. They would believe on him. And then last of all, Jesus having said again, it's written, thou shalt not tempt, put the Lord God to the test. Again, the devil took him into a exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kings of the world and the glory of them, the kingdoms, and said, all these will I give you if you'll fall down and worship me. You see, the pride of life. And Jesus said, begone, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Oh, he's going to use the same method on you, my friend, and on me. And Peter says, beware of the tempter, lest you, even though you know these things, are led away with the error of the wicked, and you fall from your own steadfastness. But, he says, rather grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Amen. To feel the tempter's mighty power without appeal, to know the pull that money has and never kneel, to be entranced by honor's glare and have no urge, to see the passing sights of sin and not submerge, to be uplifted, lauded high, and sense no pride, to gain an orator's great fame and never stride, to be exalted to the skies yet self-disdain, to be condemned and set aside yet not complain. This is victory. Are you growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him better than you knew him last week this time? Do you know him better now than you knew him a week ago? Do you know him better now than you knew him a year ago? Are you growing in grace? If it's not of grace, it's not of God. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, can you say, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and be made conformable unto his death? The only important thing in these last days in a world that is passing away and will be utterly burned up, and a new heavens and new earth will be established wherein dwells righteousness. The only thing that matters is that you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, and that you live in obedience to his will and purpose for your life. Let me repeat again once what Warren Wiersbe once said: when the child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he or she is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. Peter's last words for last days are our words today. Be mindful of the truth. Be not ignorant of the time. Be holy in your testimony. Be diligent in the task. And beware of the tempter. When the drama of human history is over, Jesus Christ will stand alone upon the stage. And all other world leaders of any generation will realize they were but bit players, actors in a drama produced and directed by the sovereign God of the universe. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Sure that you enjoyed the message that you just heard, and I trust that you'll apply it to your own life throughout this week. And here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're always concerned that listeners have an opportunity to receive Christ as their Savior. And of course, the gospel is very clear and very simple, actually. God did all the work, and he gave us a gift. The gift is the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're all sinners, and we need a Savior. The only Savior is the Lord Jesus, and when you ask him to come into your life, you're redeemed by his precious blood. And the Bible teaches that we have a new life in Christ, and you can have that if you receive him and ask him to come in. Don't forget to order your copy of Never Give Up, My Mother's Testimony About Coming to Christ. You can write Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Also, all our broadcasts are on our website at www.missiongo.org. And please remember us in your prayers. May the good Lord continue to bless you throughout this week, and be sure to write in and help us to continue this broadcast on your station.